Our speaker this evening needs no introduction, David, but he would be desirous of your careful attention and also your prayers for him. Brother David.
Thank you, Brother Marvin. This morning we got to hear a little bit about the young ones and the fact that they were called to duty when they were still quite young, Daniel being one of them. And we know that Mormon also was one that was quite young when he became a leader. It's amazing how children pick up on things at an age when we don't think that they're paying any attention. Yesterday, we got to spend the day with Ashlyn, and we were sitting on the back porch, and she was climbing up and down. We got a little round table with some chairs there, and she brought a drink over and set it on the table, and then she turned around to climb up on her chair, and I just took the drink and set it behind me, and she got all situated and sat down and looked at the table and said, "Drink." And then she looked around her chair, and she said, "Drink." And then she looked me right in the eye and said, "What did you do?" Kathy said, "Boy, she paid you right off." So we had a pretty good laugh over that. She picked up right away on where that drink went. And it's pretty amazing what children pick up on. And when they start to communicate, you realize that they picked up on a lot more than you thought they would. And I wanted to read a little bit about when Christ was here and the value that he set on the little children. And I'm going to start in Matthew chapter 18 and read verses 1 through 5. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." There's nothing more trusting than a little child. They are totally dependent on their guardian to give them food, to give them comfort, to give them the necessities that they are in need of. And Christ is saying here, until you can become as a little child and trust in me and ask for those things which you are in need of, that you won't have a place in his kingdom, that you won't be humble enough, that you want to do it all on your own without asking him. And he is the one that will take care of us. And so we need to be humble. And we need to ask forgiveness for those things which we do which are prideful, which we think that we can handle ourselves, and we don't need the help of the Holy Spirit or of God or our Christ or any authority over us. Because there's one out there waiting who is just clever enough to know when he can pounce and when he will take a child as a wolf would take a little lamb. And it's unfortunate, but it's true. That one is out there, and he's got plenty of help, and he's ready. And he wants nothing more than to conquer another human. And we just want to make sure that it's not us or any of our family that is conquered by the influence that Satan has. I want to go over to Mark in chapter 10 and read a verse or two there. I want to read 13 through 16. And in this, I want to ask why we would bless little children. Why we would put trust in a blessing. Mark 10, 13 through 16. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. A little child can walk right out of this life and pretty much walk right into the kingdom of God because they're innocent, because they have not taken upon them to be prideful and to be above authority. They are always trusting and always obedient. And that's why they are innocent. And that's why Christ said, you need to be as a little child in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to switch books on you now. I'm going to go to 3 Nephi, chapter 8. This will be page 648. And if you can imagine Christ coming to Grand Junction, coming to our area, and telling the people to gather around, and he's going to speak the words of truth and the words of hope to us. Just try to keep that in mind for a little bit as we read this. And this is going to be verses 4 through 22, 3 Nephi, chapter 8, 648. And now, this is Christ telling them that he's about to leave them. But now I go unto the Father, and also to show myself unto the lost tribes of Israel. For they are not lost unto the Father, for he knoweth whither he hath taken them. And we still don't know today what people these are. But we know that Christ went and taught them the same as he taught everyone else. And it came to pass that when Jesus had thus spoken, he cast his eyes round about on the multitude, and beheld they were in tears, and did look steadfastly upon him, as if they would ask him to tarry a little longer with them. And he said unto them, Behold, my bowels are filled with compassion toward you. Have ye any that are sick among you? Bring them hither. Have ye any that are lame or blind or halt or maimed or leprous or that are withered or that are deaf or that are afflicted in any manner? Bring them hither, and I will heal them, for I have compassion upon you. My bowels are filled with mercy, for I perceive that ye desire that I should show unto you what I have done unto your brethren at Jerusalem. For I see that your faith is sufficient that I should heal you. And it came to pass that when he had thus spoken, all the multitude with one accord did go forth with their sick and their afflicted, their lame and their blind, and with their dumb, and with all they that were afflicted in any manner. And he did heal them every one as they were brought forth unto him. And they did all, both they who had been healed and they who were whole, bow down at his feet and did worship him. And as many as could come for the multitude did kiss his feet, insomuch that they did bathe his feet with their tears. And it came to pass that he commanded that their little children should be brought, So they brought their little children and set them down upon the ground round about him, and Jesus stood in the midst. And the multitude gave way till they had all been brought unto him. So if you can imagine these people that were healed and that felt so blessed, they wanted to cling to Jesus and to just hold on. They're close to him. And he said, bring unto me the little children. And so then they all stepped back and made room for all the little children. And this wasn't any small group of people. We're talking 2,500 people here. And so they had to work in a unit to make room for these children. And it came to pass that when they had all been brought, and Jesus stood in the midst, he commanded the multitude that they should kneel down upon the ground. And it came to pass that when they had knelt upon the ground, Jesus groaned within himself and said, Father, I am troubled because of the wickedness of the people of the house of Israel. And when he had said these words, he himself also knelt upon the earth. And behold, he prayed unto the Father, and the things which he prayed cannot be written. And the multitude did bear record who heard him. And after this manner do they bear record. The eye hath never seen, neither hath the ear heard before so great and marvelous things as we saw and heard Jesus speak unto the Father. And no tongue can speak, neither can there be written by any man, neither can the hearts of men conceive so great and marvelous things as we both saw and heard Jesus speak. And no one can conceive of the joy which filled our souls at the time we heard him pray for us unto the Father. And it came to pass that when Jesus had made an end of praying unto the Father, he arose. But so great was the joy of the multitude that they were overcome. And it came to pass that Jesus spake unto them and bade them arise. And they arose from the earth, and he said unto them, Blessed are ye because of your faith. And now behold, my joy is full. And when he had said these words, he wept, and the multitude bare record of it. And he took their little children one by one and blessed them and prayed unto the Father for them. And when he had done this, he wept again, and he spake unto the multitude and said unto them, Behold your little ones. And as they looked to behold, they cast their eyes towards heaven, and they saw the heavens open. And they saw angels descending out of the heaven, as it were, in the midst of the fire. And they came down and encircled the little ones about. And they were encircled about with fire. And the angels did minister unto them. And the multitude did see and hear and bear record. And they know that their record is true. For they all of them did see and hear, every man for himself. And they were in number about 2,000. And 500 souls, and they did consist of men, women, and children. What an event that would have been, huh? To be able to see that, to partake of that, to be a part of it. But in a way, we are still a part of it. Because Christ has told us about the little children, about how important they are. And I want to go down to the 23rd verse. I already read the 23rd verse. Okay, I want to go to Matthew chapter 18. And I'm going to read verse 10. Of Matthew chapter 18. And this was the words of Christ, and he said, Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. We've always heard of the guardian angels. And here Christ himself tells us that our children have guardian angels. Does that mean that what we consider to be bad things will never happen to a child? Well, I wish that were so, but it's not. Because there's evil in this world, and we have choices that we can make. And sometimes things happen to little children that we don't think should. But we know that God knows it, and that God's in control, and that those angels probably have tears when they see their little child being taken and not given a chance of life. It's probably something that tears at them. One of the rough things of the job. You know, we all have jobs. We all have things that we don't like about our job. It's probably kind of tough for anyone, any being that has a job. And it's got to be a little bit tough on God to know that there are ones out there that would harm his little ones. But he also tells us that the little ones have no fear because they are immediately taken into his arms. That they are returned to him. I remember when Caitlin was born and John told me, he said, I feel such a responsibility. And I said, well, you've been given a gift. And for a time, that gift is yours. And not forever. Because there will come a time when you will no longer have that gift in your control. We don't have our children in control all their life. We can't make decisions for them all their life. But while they're being taught and raised and growing, we can nourish them. We can feed them and give them the knowledge of the things that are right and wrong and the principles of integrity that we have to live by in order to keep that innocence that we might enter into the kingdom of God. And it doesn't make any difference how far away they might be. They could be across the world. They could be across the state. They could be anywhere. And they're still just as close to us as if they were still ours in our house under our control. And we still want the best for them that we can give them and that life has to offer. And that's the way God is with each one of us. We're all his children, and he doesn't want to lose us. He still feels close to us and hopes that we make the right decisions, that we will preserve those things that he has taught us. So we've talked about the trust of children. We've talked about the belief of children. And how children obey. I want to go to Proverbs chapter 11. I lied. It's chapter 20, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 11. Even a child is known by his doings, whether his work be pure and whether it be right. Now, we're not talking about toddlers anymore. We're talking about children. Children that are able to produce some sort of fruit. And whether that's being good to their fellow beings or being bad, they will have a responsibility to that effect. And so when we see teenagers, K carrying out things that they shouldn't, even taking the life of another. And our court says, well, we can't prosecute them like an adult because they're still too young. But somewhere along the line, somebody slipped up. Whether it was parents or whether it was a guardian or whether that child has just somehow reached an influence through others that they made poor decisions. They're responsible for that. The courts and the laws of today will even tell you that children have rights. You don't have rights to go into their room and look through their stuff. You don't have rights as a parent anymore until something goes wrong and then we're coming after you. Does that make any sense, or does that sound like that was something conceived by somebody who is opposition to that which is good? It makes it a tough time, a tough way to live. So it takes a lot of wisdom, takes a lot of guidance, takes a lot of prayer to ask the Lord, how do I raise this child? How do I keep this child from the jaws of a wolf? My little lamb. And Christ warned his disciples of these things. And he said, feed my sheep. Take care of them. Do what you can for them. And I'll do the rest. So we know who's in control. We know who's the shepherd, who's in charge. And as long as we're doing the best we can, that's all that our responsibility is to do the best we can. Is that a wolf? Let's go over to Matthew chapter 7. Seventh chapter of Matthew, I want to read verses 15 through 20. These are the words of Christ. And he's given a little instruction here. He says, beware the false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. This is speaking of all men and women, all the children of God. They can produce fruit. And whether that fruit is good or whether it's not so good, it tells us the results. Good fruit is a pleasure to the one that has the orchard. Bad fruit is cast out. Some of the responsibilities of obeying the Lord. So we also have a responsibility to teach our children. We can't just say, well, you take care of it, Lord, I'm done. Let's go to Proverbs, 22nd chapter. 22nd chapter, verse 6. It says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. They might sway. In fact, most of us do. About the time you reach those mid to late teens, you start swaying a little, saying, well, now, wait a minute. I've always done it my parents' way. Maybe I'll just take off and do it my way. But as long as they have been trained and they know the truth, it is their responsibility that once they've gone astray, that they realize, whoops, I messed up. Now what do? If they haven't been trained, they don't know what to do. All they know is that they're messing up. And more than likely, if they're not trained, they're going to get in deeper and deeper until they become hopeless. But if they're trained properly, they're going to reach out and take a hand and get back on the straight and narrow path and say, I see the difference. I see that it's not just up to me, but that along the way, I need to pay attention to those things that I have been taught, those things that are the truth, those things that have been taught as I grew. I need to return to the old path. That's our responsibility, to teach our children. And as ministers, it's our responsibility to teach the sheep, to keep them in the safe zone. I want to go over to Psalms, the 78th Psalm. Verses 1 through 7. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord, and his strength, and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them unto their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep his commandments. David here, kind of putting it in a nutshell. If we teach our children, then when they become parents, they will teach their children. It's our responsibility to teach those children. In Psalms 120, Seven. Verses 3 through 5, 127th Psalm. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. If we can raise up our children properly, then we're not ashamed of them. We've produced something good, and we have produced something which the Lord told us to enjoy. It's my gift to you. Enjoy your children. Teach them well, and they will not forget. I want to go over to Proverbs again. Chapter 22 of Proverbs. Verse 15. Proverbs 22, verse 15. Says, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. You know, Paul told us, when I was a child, I had childish ways. But now I have become a man. And I have the ways of a man. We put off the childish things. We put off those things which draw us astray. Because we are corrected in those things. And God told us if we need correction, those that he loves, he will correct. And that we shouldn't feel bad when we're corrected, but we should feel happy that we were worthy to be corrected. Because God cared that much, that he corrected us. And we are all the children of God. God is the one that gave us life. Let's go back three chapters to the 20th chapter of Proverbs. In verse 7. Proverbs 20:7 says, the just man walketh in his integrity. His children are blessed after him. If we're walking the best we know how, with integrity, with determination, with charity, then God says that not only are we blessed, but our children also will be blessed because they've been taught. Because they know the difference. I'm going to finish up this evening in Romans. Chapter 8 of Romans. First, I'm going to read 5 through 9. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enemy against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. If we're going to be after the things of the world, then we cannot follow after God because we've already set our hearts on something else. And so then we have to follow after that that we know to be good. Verse 8 says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. In other words, the Lord has nothing to do with you if you don't carry his Spirit with you. That Spirit is a gift. He gave us life as a gift. we weren't just floating around up there, just lost souls until all of a sudden one of us got caught and ended up down here on earth. God created us and gave us the gift of life, the gift of choice. And He gives us that Spirit. And He says to carry that Spirit and let it dwell in you so that all will be well. I'm going to go down to verses 14 through 16, same chapter. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Every one of us is a child of God. And He cares about His children. Every one of them. I want to go down to verses 33 and read through 38. How are we going to take care of that Spirit? It says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Christ told us he would make intercession for us. As long as we knocked, he would answer. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, we can suffer persecutions. We can suffer the things that life hands to us that we don't think are quite fair. But if we accept it and say, Lord, if this is my burden, then I share it with you, and together we will bear it. Together, we'll make it right in the end. That is God's promise to each one of us, each one of His children. As long as we continue to remember those things that we have been taught that we know are truth.